Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're going to begin this morning with announcements. Do we have any announcements from the congregation? Yes, Deborah. Okay. All right. And I think we also at 4:30, and it should be in your bulletin, 4:30 we have children's choir and then Kids for Christ at 5. So come at 4:30 and stay for Kids for Christ. And
Rebecca may have a word about children's choir at 4:30.
Grammar, music, no basis,
Okay.
4:30 to 5, so they got an hour and a half there of activities.
And the youth tonight, we will, it says 5 o'clock, we will be meeting here, though, at 4:45. We're going to the ordination of Jason Heidel, who is a minister, or soon to be minister in our presbytery. He's a pastor at the Mount Pleasant Church, but he also works camps, and this is also a wonderful opportunity for the youth and any adult that wants to join us to witness someone being ordained into the ministry of Word and Sacrament.
Let me ask a question. How many of you have participated in or observed an ordination service for a minister? Anybody over here? One, two here. Okay, three. Ordination of a minister here. One, about six of us. It would be an educational thing. It shows we're set apart for the full work of the gospel ministry, or the ministry of word and sacrament, that's preaching and serve the sacrament. And it'll be at the Mount Pleasant Church. It's in Mount Pleasant on Florida Avenue. And Jason has been around it from the Lewisburg Church. A camper, Sound is going to participate, Reverend Tommy Jones is going to participate, I'm going to participate. Actually, I'm helping do the installation as pastor, but it would be an interesting evening, we think, or it is from my vantage point at least, to see a new minister. And Sound worked with Jason how many years? A number of years on the committee on the ministry. So it's he reached the pinnacle, and maybe there's another step up as he ministers in the church. Thank you.
And Jason and I were also classmates in seminary together, and we've been going to camp together since we were very young. So this is wonderful to see him achieve this goal. And also, youth, bring a few dollars. We will stop for dinner on the way home.
And that's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock at the Mount Pleasant Church.
Are there any other announcements? Kelly? Sherry? One other announcement that didn't make the bulletin is young adult gathering. We will have a young adult gathering on Tuesday, September 19th at my house. And for those, there will be more information next week in the bulletin or in the September newsletter concerning that. But if you're 20, 30, early 40-something, and we will have... Okay, you're kind of getting out of young adult range there. We will have babysitting available. It's going to be a potluck. The meat will be provided, and we just ask that everyone bring a side dish. Any others? Okay, well then let's move on to prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests today?
Miss Vivian, read.
Yes, thanks. I mean, first. Mike.
Yep,
Are there any others? Yes. Yes. Okay. Are there any others?
Depressed and just looked them up. And I have a praise. My cousin Jody Stamey, who's been on the prayer list, has finished her cancer treatment. And our family met in the mountains last weekend and celebrated. And she looks fabulous and has a good prognosis. So.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. It's Jonna Farner.
There is another lady, Joan Winter. Our graduates who graduated in June,
are there any others?
Back up. Hannah has a friend named Eric with her, and then Mr. Tom Champion is with us today for the first time. And then the Rich family is back.
Welcome. Are there any other first-time visitors?
Oh,
okay. Welcome. Well, let us begin our worship service with a moment of silent prayer. Alleluia! Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia! Worship is taken from Psalm chapter 47, verse 46 and 47. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise.
Stand and sing, 506. I will sing of my Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse which set me free. Sing, O sing, O my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon. He that there I may be free. I will tell the wondrous story of my lost and sacred shame. In His boundless love and mercy, He's a ransom free again. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased it. On the cross He sealed my pardon. Take the death and make me free. I will praise my Redeemer. He's my answer, power I tell. How the victory He's given over sin and death and hell. Singing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me.
For prayer.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to sing of You, but we come to sing to You. And Lord, we come with humble hearts. We come with thanksgiving that You have sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, that He was willing to shed His blood, and through that blood we were made clean, our faith in Him. Thank You, Lord, for a time to worship, to come apart from the world, come and meet with fellow Christians, meet with seekers, and Lord, to lift our hearts to You in praise, to look at Your Word, to offer our petitions to You, and to offer our praise and adoration. Lord, we pray for Your blessing upon every aspect of this service. And, O Lord, we pray that it would all be to Your honor and to Your glory, to our strength as Christians, in our work, preparing us for that work that You have called us to do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Turn again in your hymnals.
Excellent.
Hymn 585. 585.
I'm glad I'm a Christian. You know, and I serve Jesus. Try to serve Him. I know He forgives me when I do the things I shouldn't do, and when I don't do the things that I should. I just thank Him for loving me, even when I'm not so lovable. And this next song we're about to sing, it's hymn 186. I'm sure it's an old favorite. I'd like for y'all to turn to it and just listen to the words. Read the words and what they mean to you as a Christian. The old rugged cross, I'm sure it's an old time favorite of all of you, or most of you. Exchange it someday for a through our shame. So I cherish the end of this world, till my throat is at last I lay down. I will plead through the oath of it falls, and exchange it someday for a prize.
We now have children's time. Miss Andrea. All children are welcome. Children of all ages.
Yeah.
Children may go to Children's Church. Miss Julie Bomar is leading Children's Church this morning. Our offertory sentence today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is giving, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. If the ushers will please come forward.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Turn your hymnals again, if you will, please, to hymn 529. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of the Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel the deepest woe, who in sorrow bears the part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Let me see it in your face.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from three scriptures. Only two of them made it into this bulletin, but you can either follow along with me in your Bibles, in the bulletin, or listen to God's Word. First scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Our next scripture lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 21. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. And our last scripture lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Turn your hymnals again, if you will, please, to hymn 520. We'll sing the first and the last. Hymn 520.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am.
I trust that you have not grown tired of hearing instructions as to how we can live lives that will honor Jesus. The Message. Are you familiar with The Message?
It's a new version, a relatively new version of the Scripture. Mr. Eugene Peterson paraphrased the Scripture again. It happened by Mr. Taylor back in the 70s, I guess, 60s or 70s. And he came up with what we know as the Living Bible. Peterson came along in the early 60s and paraphrased it again. And he left out the verse numbers. The verse numbers. So if you read it, you can find the book and the chapter, but you can't find the verse numbers unless you know where you're looking. But
If you read this, it's really in everyday language more so than the Living Bible is. And I thought that was so everyday language way back then. But this is more so. It says, the Bible in contemporary language, and it's just written like a book. Now, why did he do this? Well, the early Bibles, I guess you know, did not even have the chapter divisions. Somebody came along long time after the Bible was written and put in chapters and verses. So he was just going back to some of the original, or in one way, make it read like a story rather than being able to follow the chapter and verses. But if you look closely, you can find the verses. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, and you have that printed in the New International Version there before you, and I think that many of the pews have a King James in them. About half of the pew Bibles are King James. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, it reads, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. That's from the message translation or interpretation. In your outline or on your outline, and incidentally on the back of the outline, is the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and a prayer of confession with the call to confession and assurance of forgiveness from the Scripture. We'll be inserting that back in the worship service come September, which is next Sunday. But maybe a different confession, maybe the same one. But on the front of that, I printed Ephesians 5:17 from the Message. Don't live carelessly, comma, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. That's pretty serious instruction to me. We need to know what God wants of us, the Master being God, the Lord our God. We need to know what the Master wants. And we've been studying on that, some of us, for generations, and then we come across something late in life and you'll say, I didn't know that. So it's good to go back and study. And what I've been doing for the last few weeks is taking Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and 4, 5, and 6, and supplementing with other supporting passages and looking at and trying to bring to us again, or if it's the first time you've heard it anew, what it is that God expects of His people. This is a message to Christians. Now, non-Christians, it doesn't mean a lot. So if you're not a believer in Jesus, if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord, it may not make as much sense to you, but if you want to, this is a good time to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And we get to that point at the end of the service. Or you don't have to wait till the end of the service. You can bow right where you are and say, Jesus, I claim you as my Savior. I want to be your child, and I want to do what you want to me to do, and I know I've got to study to do this. And I'm willing to listen. So that's where we are this morning. In life, there are many situations that I don't know what to do. There are two right answers, or maybe four right answers. One of the things is what to have for refreshment. Do I have Sprite or Coke? Which is the best for me? A non-caffeine drink? Or non-Diet Coke, that is, a non-sugar drink. And probably neither one of them is the best for me, but if you're making a choice, you've got to be sociable, you know, and Coke or Sprite, having a drink with a friend, nothing stronger than that. It says don't be drunk with wine. We'll get to that later, you know, maybe next week or the next week. But if it's Coke or Sprite, some people don't drink caffeine, so I guess they would say, well, Sprite is the one you have. But in my society, customs that I grew up with, we could drink caffeine. So is it Coke or Sprite? Which one? Does it matter? It's your particular taste, I guess. We'll go to lunch today, and some people have Sprite, some Coke, some water, and some tea, and some coffee. Yeah, okay? Other things, coffee or tea, does it matter? Maybe depends on what the temperature is outside or inside. And then the choice of the automobile. I bought a new automobile almost 3 years ago, and I talked to Mr. Campbell about his new automobile, and he thought a Mercury was the best, and I looked very seriously. I came, you know, that close to buying a Mercury. Same color, Mr. Campbell, so I could drive down the road, and they'd think it was me or Ms. Campbell, you know. And I liked the Mercury, and I saw it advertised the other day, and I said, man, you know, that's a fine deal on that car. It seems like it. But I bought a Toyota. Did it matter? Both of them are fine cars, I think. One, both of them will get you from point A to point B. One rides a little smoother. I won't even say which one. According to which one I own or which one Mr. Campbell owns. He thinks his rides the smoothest. I think his does have heated seats in it. And I don't have heated seats. But if I'd have bought a Mercury, I wouldn't have got that. Or do I want a Nissan? Or do I want a Ford product, a General Motors product? A Mercury is a Ford product. Do I want a General Motors product? Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. So I don't know what to do. I have to kind of flip a coin or ask the wife, and she'll tell you what to do. Or I could get a Honda. Doesn't matter. But I don't know which one to choose, and it's a question that we have to make decisions. But in other situations, while there are some situations you don't know what to do, and it really doesn't matter which choice you make, it doesn't to me. Don't think it does to God. He don't care. So you use it for His honor, for His glory. Don't be a glutton on the drink. Don't drink too much caffeine. Don't take too much sugar. And don't use your automobile for terrible things, like they used to haul whiskey in them. And I guess they don't do that anymore. Or rob banks in. I watched the movie Bunny and Clyde the other day. Maybe I shouldn't even have watched that. But there's some situations, what is right and what is wrong is as clear as the nose on my face. And that's pretty clear, isn't it? You can all see it, though somebody said the face was kind of hidden up here where the lights come. Whether or not to rob a bank. Everybody knows what the answer is to that, right? You know what is right in that question. You know, no, you don't rob a bank. That's number 9 of the Big Ten. 10 Commandments, right? Thou shalt not steal. And that includes going in and robbing banks as Bunny and Clyde did. Boy, they were champions at it. Or whether to hit your little sister or your big sister or your little brother. I hope the teenagers went out to help with the children. Hopefully they won't hit on the children. And hopefully the children won't hit on them. This is for them too. If you're a teenager, don't hit your little brother and little sister. If you're about to do that. I still remember, I still have guilt feelings of throwing a corn cob, a wet corn cob, soaked with my older sister. Well, my mother took care of that, took care of my side of it. Don't throw wet corn cobs at your family members. Or whether it's to be a bully or not. Whether it's to be a bully or not. The answer is pretty plain. No, you don't be a bully. Or whether it's you disobey your parents. Or talk back to them. Or ignore them. Or is, she's not here this morning. One child used to do this when I would try to talk to her. Boy, did that make me mad. Y'all are tired of hearing about my children though, right? But the next preacher have worse stories than me, I guess. Maybe worse children. Or to hate your neighbor. Are you supposed to hate your neighbor? And the Bible is really plain. There is no question what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love our neighbors, right? Even our enemies. Love those. Be good to those who despitefully use you and pick at you and persecute you. Very hard. Wow, I used to get beat up at school and go home and I'd get on that chin-in bar and I'd work until I got so tired I was going to be strong the next day. I didn't have sense enough I thought I was too proud to bow down to ever really say calf rope until it got to really hurting, but as soon as I got loose, I was arrogant again. Okay, help the elderly lady across the street.
We know what the answer is there. Yes, we're supposed to. If she wants to go across the street, but you've got to be careful. She may have just come across the street and don't want to go back. Okay? Or scream at the lady at the clerk at McDonald's. How many have ever wanted to scream at the clerk at McDonald's? How many have ever screamed at the person at McDonald's? Stopped and bought a biscuit and bacon and something the other day. Years ago, months ago, I learned to look at it before I got a mile down the road. I got it open, driving and trying to eat. Probably shouldn't do that one. Got it out, and they had two little bitty thin pieces of bacon about that long on it. Can you see? I thought, if I wasn't in a hurry to get home, going to see my mother, I'd go back and kind of say, put some more bacon on this bacon and biscuit. But maybe bacon wasn't real good. Don't scream at the lady. You know what's right there. You don't scream at the clerk. She's only doing what she's been taught to do. Okay? Be kind to your neighbor or give food to the hungry. Friday afternoon, what would you have done? What was the right thing to do? Phone rang. Joyce told me somebody was on the phone and they had told her part of the story. Then I got the story. They had beans, green beans to eat. Three in the family, man, his daughter, and a lady friend. They had beans to eat the day before. Today they didn't even have beans. What am I supposed to do? It didn't take me long to decide what to do. I wrote them out a voucher, a note to the grocery store to give this man so many groceries. Then I got to feeling bad. His car had been repossessed. It was a long walk. It was hot. I'd been sweating that day already. Long way to the grocery store. I said, well, I'll take you to the grocery store, see how you can get back. And that's fine, you know. And then I got feeling guilty, so I waited on him at the grocery store. I think I did right. I had no question that I needed to provide a few groceries for that family for the weekend. I said, will this get you through the weekend? They said, yes. So it did. Okay. So what I'm saying is there are certain things you really don't know what to do. It's really not that important. There are other things you know what to do, and it's what God wants you to do. Some things God don't care, like whether you have Coke or Sprite. Maybe you don't want you to have either one, but maybe he does too. But then other things, there are certain things you need to do, and we just need to do it. There's the right and wrong things. The right thing to do, the wrong thing to do. The good thing about them, there's no mystery to what they are. They're written down in plain English, unless we speak Spanish. And then they're written down in plain Spanish, unless we speak plain Russian, and they're written down in plain Russian, right? First of all, you're a Slav. They're written in Russian. You learned the gospel in Russia, didn't you? Or it could be in France, or French, or whatever, or Japanese, etc. Mark Twain had a statement, though. He said, I think he said it, and if I'm wrong, forgive me. But to my memory, I didn't research this one again, Mark Twain said, somebody came to him and said, there's a bunch of stuff in the Bible that I don't understand. What do you think about that? And allegedly he said, it's not what I don't understand that bothers me a lot, it's that which I do understand. That I'm having trouble doing what I do understand to do, or not doing what I do understand that I'm not supposed to do. Now, even Twain was not a religious person in his later years anyway. When he said that, I don't know. Most of us know what's right and wrong. And that's, if we don't know the difference, well, ignorance is not an excuse, but we use it a lot. Sometimes we say we don't know, and when we really do. Continuing from last week and the week before with the thought of living as God teaches us to live, or another title, the title today is Living to Honor Jesus, we also might call this sermon and those sermons last week and maybe the one next week, Doing What's Right. Doing what's right. That's righteous living. Doing what is right. What God wants us to do. Go back to the quote from, make sure that you understand what the Master wants, or figure out what pleases Christ, and then do it. Today, let's center in on, we won't get through, but center in on Hebrews 10:19-25.
This is about church. We said last week there are instructions about family, how to relate to family. There are instructions in the Bible about how to relate to other people. And then there's instructions in the Bible about how to relate to God. And church is where we come to meet God, right? How to relate to God. Let's follow your outline, if you will, and we'll get partially through it. We won't finish. Worship. If we get our relationship with God right, all the rest will fall in place. Jesus said, seek ye first, and I think I quoted this last week, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. That's what He said about our worry about material necessities of life, as we call them necessities, material needs being filled or met, our shelter, our clothing, our food, our drink. But if we get the worship part right, if we get the part with God right, the rest doesn't take care of itself in general. It may have to learn a few details. If we're believers in Jesus and want to do all we can that is right and that pleases Him to show our thanksgiving and our appreciation to Him, we're going to do right. We're going to find. Tell me more, Jesus. What else do you want me to do? Now, what about this situation? Do we not? Gathering with other believers. Go to verse 25, if you will, in your scripture lesson. Verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, what does it say? Who wants to read it for me? Somebody's just out there saying, I wish you'd let me read. Okay, I'll read it. Let us not give up meeting together. I can't count how many times, I can't remember how many times I have heard, I can worship just as good at home. Or I can worship just as good in the woods or some other place. My question is, but do you worship there? Do these people worship there? They can if they will. And why not both? Why not spend some time with God's people where God's Word is proclaimed, read, and expounded upon, explained, and then where the congregation has joined together to sing praises to God? Why not both? The Bible plainly calls us to be faithful to meet together. Don't give up the assembling of yourselves together as some have done. That was a problem in the first century church. It didn't just start now or in your early years or my early years. Meet together, the Bible says, with other believers and unite our voices in worship. It tells us that in Hebrews 10:25, but it tells us that in other places. One example, as much by example as it does in plain language. Acts chapter 2, they had a gathering in Jerusalem. People came and Peter stood up and preached. He took advantage of a captive audience. He started preaching and 3,000 souls were converted. They believed in Jesus and were saved and were baptized and were added to the church. Now, can you see Peter preaching 3,000 different sermons that day? You read the sermon he preached, you can't believe he'd do it. If he went to every individual, if he visited in the home and preached that gospel to every individual, couldn't do it. No way. We wasn't enough minutes in the day. But he could preach one sermon to 3,000 gathered people, and they could hear and they could believe. And how many were there? We don't know. People from all around. And it lists in Acts chapter 2 the countries they were from, or at least some of them. I'm not sure if that is an inclusive listing. Then in Acts chapter 20, Paul was, I think it was in Ephesus. Doesn't matter really where he was, I don't think. But he was going to leave the next day and go somewhere else. And he had a lot to tell these Christians, so he called them together. Now, he could have gone from house to house to house to house and preached a lot, but he had been up much past 2 o'clock. But even when he called them together, he preached, and he preached on and on and on and on. And he preached till midnight, past midnight. One young man was sitting in a window.
some warnings here, but the illustration is that he was had a gathered group. One man was sitting in the window, and he went to sleep.
I don't know if that's a lesson about the preacher not to preach too long and put people to sleep. I don't know if it's not sitting in the window.
Maybe a lesson about not sitting in the window. Maybe both of them. It may be a lesson to the listener of the sermon not to go to sleep while you're listening, no matter where you're sitting, because you could fall out in the pew and bump your nose on the pew in front of you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But all that silliness aside, the guy went to sleep, sitting in the window, went to sleep, fell out, and they thought he was dead. Paul went down and, with the power of the Holy Spirit, revived him. He didn't die. But it was a gathered group. The point is, the main point is, a gathered group of people to hear that sermon. And then Psalms 100, back in the Old Testament, the people were invited to come together and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you peoples, etc., etc., etc. When we meet, there is praise. When we meet, there are prayers. When we meet, there is the reading of the Word. Meet together, the Bible says. Teaches us by the plain spoken language and by the example. That is one thing that the Master wants. If you want to do what the Master wants, meet together. It's one thing that pleases Christ. And I notice when teenagers get 17 or 18, get driving, get a job, they say, I don't need to go to church anymore. But they do. They just think they don't. And they'll learn someday. Especially when they have their own kids and they decide they don't need to go. It all come home to haunt you. Then the second thing I want to bring your attention to is draw near to God. And time moves on. Draw near to God. Verse 22. James 4:8 also says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Friends, it's dangerous, whether you know it or not. If you don't already know it, be reminded, it's dangerous to be pals with the devil. It's dangerous to be pals with the devil. It's dangerous to fellowship with the devil. We're not going to convert him. Jesus didn't convert him, and we're not going to. He rebelled. He wouldn't submit to the authority of God. And the Bible plainly says, resist the devil. But it says, submit to God. Just submit to God. But I don't want to submit. I don't want to be told what to do. Sorry. That's what the Master wants. If you want to please your Maker, draw near to Him. What is the place that we're most likely to come near to God? I think it's the church. I've worked in the church all my life, especially adult life. I've worked in the community, worked in the world, been to the ball field a few times, been to the mall a few times, been to nightclubs a few times. Not recently, folks, not recently. Driven down the highway a lot of times. Where do I get? I get pretty close to God driving. My driving, I better be close to God, people. But where I get closest to God is in church. You know, I try to save people through my driving. I'm not a good evangelist, but I can save them, scare them into heaven. Okay. Okay. It's not likely that we'll draw near to God in the shopping center or in the mall, especially on Friday night when people get... It's not likely to happen in the parking lot. I spent a lot of hours in the parking lot past midnight, get home, and folks would say, what do you do? They knew. They had been there themselves. Hang around the coffee cup. Saw a lot of fights. A lot of cursing, but didn't draw near to God out there. Tried to make contact with a lot of girls before I met the dear Carol. You can meet God there, but it's not likely. But the church is the place that is planned that we can draw near to God. We can be sure that the devil will entice us out there, though. The Bible says draw near to God more than when we go to a wedding, or more than when we go to a funeral,
or more when we get in other trouble. You know, some people go to church for, I think it's WFC, for weddings, funerals, if we're in serious trouble. That's a WFC church member. There's also Egg and Holly Christians, as they call it. Church attenders, they go on Christmas and Easter, or Easter and Christmas. Egg, you know which one goes where. Okay. Draw near to God. That's what the Master wants, and that's what pleases Jesus. Then there's encourage one another. I want to know this morning, are you an encourager or a discourager? And it's so easy to become a discourager. That's what we're called to be, though, encouragers. We're called to be encouragers. We're called to encourage one another. I made a list of things that need encouragement. The youth of our church need encouragement. The children of the church need encouragement. Deborah needs encouragement tonight. She needs your children here because it's terrible to have food for about 15 or 20 young people and four or five show up. They'll get fat. And you know what happens when if you feed children too much. Okay, they need encouragement. The missions teams needs encouragement. Home mission teams needs encouragement. Foreign mission teams needs encouragement. I said in the earlier service, I said, you know, I'm not interested in going to Guatemala or to Colombia, South America. But I'm so happy to know Sam and his team that wants to go. And I'm so happy. People called me this week, said, let Sam, how do I get in touch with Sam? Sam, I don't know if you reached her or not. How do I get in touch with Sam? I want him to come and talk to my church about a mission team to South Mississippi. Still working on that Katrina deal or Rita deal or both of them. And there are people out there that want to hear about it. So I'm pleased to say, here's his phone number. Call him. I know he'll be ready to go. He'll even quit building on his own house till if he can come and talk about that. Because they want you to come on, I don't know, maybe, anyhow, Wednesday or Sunday one. Our outreach committee, they're planning an event for September the 23rd. Friends, they need encouragement. They're going to take this money and use it outside the church. Outside the church. Last year they used the money to help repair the face of little children who had, they call it hair lip, I think. Did they do five? I think they said they did five faces with the money that they raised here to send. The Bazaar Committee, meeting Wednesday night, they need encouragement. That's 18th of November. That money stays here. It goes to pay for that building between this building and that other building over there, that new section. And I'm enjoying that so much, I even drive by at night, late at night, I come over to check everything out, and I'll drive by, and I'll say, boy, isn't that lobby pretty, or that vestibule, or narthex, or whatever you want to call it, and I'll drive by the other way, and I'll turn around and drive by again, and I'll say, that's inviting, isn't it? That looks so warm. The decorator, and she needs encouragement. She had, isn't it, it's beautiful. I'm just excited. People provided furniture. Some of it was provided from some people's houses. Some of it is on loan, one bench from another church. They loaned it to us. And it's just so warm and inviting. And I just enjoy going out there and sitting and just look around. You know, we started with the gymnasium. That was fine at that time. But isn't this better? Wow. 18 years, a lot of things have happened. Before that, y'all were meeting. The group was meeting down the street in a rented facility. Let's encourage both groups. The outreach committee. Let's encourage the bazaar committee. Let's encourage the evangelism committee. We're not in competition, folks. We're working together for the same purpose, to please the Lord. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, but it's God that gives the increase. In MDO, Mother's Day Out, starts to Tuesday week, a week and 2 days. They need encouragement. The choir, glad to see you back in the choir this morning. They need encouragement. The musicians, it don't get any better. It don't get any better than what you did this morning. Bless your heart. Didn't know you could do it that good. I knew you could do it, but didn't know you could do it that good. Known him 25, 30 years. Don't get any better than that, does it? Thank you, choir. Thank you, Savannah. And then that heart, oh, it's just
so soothing. I understand why David's harp could soothe crazy Saul. It didn't last with Saul, though, but maybe that'll last with us, Savannah. Encourage it. The preacher, I need encouragement. Thank you for it. And I get a lot of it, but thank you again. Don't quit. This doesn't get any better than being with God's people. That's what the Master wants. That's what pleases Christ Jesus. And encouragement spurs people on to do good works. We're going to stop there. Spurs people on to do good works. Let's sing, is it 375? It's Jesus Calls Us. Maybe you have a public response to make this morning. It may be that you want to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus. It may be that you just want to come forward and say, I want to become an encourager. Or I want to commit my life to learning and doing all I can that pleases the Master, God our Father, and Jesus our Savior. Let's stand and sing. Two verses sound. Verse 2. Lord God, teach us that we might know, and encourage us and strengthen us that we might do. In Jesus' name.